How can virtual care and innovative technology transform healthcare delivery? According to our next guest, Dr. Sarah Pletcher, it requires reimagining care models by leveraging cutting-edge solutions. As Assistant Vice President and Executive Medical Director for Strategic Innovation at Houston Methodist, Dr. Pletcher leads the nationally renowned health system in developing and accelerating pioneering care strategies for the next decade. An accomplished surgeon and telehealth trailblazer, Dr. Pletcher shares her valuable insights on virtual nursing programs reducing burnout, wearables enhancing patient monitoring, expanding hospital-at-home offerings, implementing ambient AI for safety, and rolling out system-wide virtual rounding capabilities. Join us to learn how Dr. Pletcher is driving innovation at Houston Methodist, enhancing experiences and outcomes through tech-enabled, forward-thinking care delivery. Let's go.
Welcome to Passionate Pioneers with Mike Baselli, where we highlight and speak with the innovators, the game changers, and the pioneers who are deeply passionate and relentless in solving the problems our world is facing today. This is your opportunity to connect with and learn from these leaders and to support them on their mission. Perhaps they will soon be hearing your story as well. This is Passionate Pioneers with Mike Baselli. I look forward to having you on this journey with us.
Hi, Dr. Pletcher. A big welcome to our podcast today.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, given your role as a national thought leader and invited speaker in telemedicine, virtual care, remote patient monitoring, AI, hospital at home, mHealth, and many other innovations in care delivery, and your passion and commitment to bringing a unique set of skills to the healthcare transformation action movie, I'm looking forward to learning from you today. But before we dive in, a bit of housekeeping. While listening to any of our episodes, please take a moment to subscribe to the podcast so you will automatically receive episode updates in your podcast player. Simply search Passionate Pioneers with Mike Baselli on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Lastly, please visit the bottom of the episode notes to connect with me on LinkedIn and Twitter in order to further the conversations occurring on this podcast. All right, Sarah, it's almost time for our community to learn how you are helping lead the Houston Methodist Health System on strategy, development, acceleration, and execution of new care models and innovations that are helping transform the organization into its next decade. But first, what's that one piece of advice that you would give to others who are passionate about reimagining the health of our world?
Well, it may be overly mundane and practical, but it's a couple of things. It's find your North Star and keep your eyes on it. And then you just have to keep showing up and keep being willing to learn and keep being willing to solve problems and remember why you're doing it. Change management's hard. Transformation's hard. There's plenty of discouraging headwinds in any industry. Healthcare is no different. So if you don't have the conviction and perseverance to just keep showing up on some days, it's going to be hard to remember why you're doing it. So I think that's my motto, is just keep showing up, keep trying to solve problems, and always remember why you're doing it.
I absolutely love that, Sarah. And it is so true, especially in healthcare. You know, as well as I, you and I have both been in this for quite some time, and the complexities and the difficulties and the multi-sided nature of healthcare, whether it be regulatory, payers, systems like yours, and the patient themselves. There's a lot of different sides, and which creates a ton of variability in our industry. And so to that, Sarah, specifically, you know, and I think this is really important because you get to spend a lot of time with our startup innovators, if you will, companies outside of health systems like a Houston Methodist that are trying to help work alongside you to innovate. What is also that feedback that you would give? Yes, continue to show up every day. But would it be true as well to think about, you know, what does it mean to iterate? What does it mean to, you know, hey, we know that going through this door is not going to work. This solution is not going to work as it currently stands. We need to look and maybe pivot a bit. How important is it to be flexible along the way while you keep showing up every day, whether that be inside of Houston Methodist or some of the innovators that you get to work with?
Yeah, I mean, it's trying to remain unbreakably optimistic is a challenge, you know, but you have to keep investing in that optimism every single day. I think one of the reflections I'd have, it's true not just of our vendor partners, but really anyone trying to do something new. It's surprisingly rare how much people take advantage of the ability to go ask questions and learn from people. Where I'll see a vendor with this great solution and they've been iterating on it, but then you say, well, how much time have you spent in hospitals? How much time have you spent asking nurses what it's like on their shift? And I don't always get the sense that they've taken advantage of easy, low-hanging fruit to find people who would be thrilled that anyone cares enough to learn from them. I think often vendors want to tell you about their solution less than they want to hear about the problem. You know, they start the sales call with, tell me about your pain points. But have you really gone out near the end users to learn from them about what excites them, what discourages them, what ideas do they have for making things better? I think that's a rare skill set to be willing to be a truly good listener and act like an anthropologist where you're invited amongst these tribes to learn about their customs, habits, you know, what holds them together. So I think that would be my advice.
It's a fantastic piece of advice. And to our startup innovators out there tuning in, I could not agree more with Sarah and those comments. You know, we have to assume nothing and challenge everything in regards to what we are building. Because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what we think about our product. And we might think it's the best thing since sliced bread. It's the end user that matters the most and the problems that are being solved for those end users. So get in the trenches, get out of the proverbial office, if you will, and get side by side with the end users that are experiencing your technology to help solve that problem. So great piece of advice, Sarah. And also, you know, we're going to dive in a bit more here and talk about all of the great things that you are helping lead at Houston Methodist and all the wonderful different types of innovations and care models that are coming to life. We can't wait to discuss all of that and more after we get back from thanking our community champion sponsor.
Healthcare faces a paradox that echoes through generations. While the current practices that help heal patients today are vital, it is crucial to evaluate them through an environmental lens. OSHA's Responsible for Tomorrow initiative is a collection of interviews featuring influential thought leaders and industry experts like you who share their sustainability strategies, insights, and provide valuable perspectives from diverse industries to inspire innovation within the healthcare sector. OSHA invites you to join this journey. Want to share your sustainability story? OSHA is actively looking for partners to highlight the important and inspiring work being done around the globe. Check out OSHA's Responsible for Tomorrow initiative and series at OSHR.com, that's OSSUR.com, or visit the episode notes and click on their link. Together, and with OSHA helping lead the way, let's all be responsible for tomorrow.
All right, we're back with Dr. Sarah Pletcher, System Vice President, Executive Medical Director, and Strategic Innovation at Houston Methodist. Sarah, thank you so much for teeing us up on the front end here. Incredibly important. Show up every day, continue to be persistent, but also understand that we need to work closely with the people that are experiencing the problems in order for innovation, technology, or otherwise to truly flourish. Now, Sarah, you sit inside of one of our nation's leading health systems. You get to see it on the front lines, not only with, you know, the work that you're doing with your vendor partners, but of course, all of your colleagues that are there on the day-to-day, whether administratively or clinically. Can't wait to discuss kind of how you got to where you are today, being at that national leading health system, Houston Methodist. And then, of course, what you're working on today, what you're focused on, what you're excited about, some of those models happening at Houston Methodist. Then what should we be thinking about in the future? What do you see in a little bit future state that we should be mindful of? And of course, how we can be helping you and your team out as well, Dr. Pletcher. But first, let's start there. Give us a little bit of that backstory. How did this all come to be? How did you get into innovation? I know you're very passionate about all of this work. How did it all then lead up to you becoming part of a key member of the Houston Methodist leadership team?
Well, it's definitely not a Marvel-worthy origin story, but you did ask me to kind of look all the way back at the stepping stones along the way. So I grew up in rural, small-town Michigan, you know, where access to healthcare resources was very limited. There's a rural penalty that infected me as a kid with a chronic condition, and it meant lots of unnecessary ER visits and hospital stays because I didn't have access to that expertise. Spent some years growing up working in the family manufacturing business. You know, I didn't realize how impactful those experiences would be, but being able to bring together the scale and process of manufacture, but also keep it personalized and individual to try to offer a great retail experience and to be able to have network partnerships to distribute the products, everything from supply chain and the sales process. It was a great cauldron to learn some skills in as a kid. And then worked overseas, saw the nationalized health system in the UK, you know, which was sort of an example of a very different payer environment. And then medical school, surgery residency at Dartmouth, and then began really building innovative models, whether it was for education or quality or ultimately for care, including telemedicine. You know, it's been 35 years, really. So after those years at Dartmouth, I had the opportunity to join the Houston Methodist team just at the beginning of the pandemic. So it was accidental, but perfect timing, having been brought in to really build a virtual program for them. And it's been a thrill to be part of an amazing organization and an amazing team of innovators really across the system, all willing to lean in and execute real care redesign and transformation that have helped us continue to lead both in quality, patient experience, outcomes, et cetera. So I've been very fortunate to have so many opportunities over the years and to be able to draw on lots of different work and life experience along the way to bring to bear and trying to move some of these initiatives forward.
Well, you know, kudos to the Houston Methodist leadership team for bringing you in. And it just so happened, like you mentioned, right before the pandemic. Now, of course, we knew once the pandemic did hit us, things changed quickly overnight. Obviously, one big need is around virtual care because it was a huge need at that time. But you could obviously sense that you mentioned they brought you in right before the pandemic. So virtual care was already on the radar, minus a pandemic. Why was that? And I know virtual care is a big term. We're going to talk about some specificities within that and what that means to you and Houston Methodist. But let's go back to that moment in time before the pandemic. Why was Houston Methodist wanting to build this virtual care type of offering?
Certainly Houston Methodist has been innovating. Its whole history as a health system goes back to another pandemic. And so there's a very unique blend of resiliency and taking advantage of a crisis and being progressive and forward thinking, you know, leveraging tools to be innovative. Also say, you know, telemedicine isn't new. We didn't invent it during the pandemic any more than we invented Netflix during the pandemic. So it's been around, really, you could trace it back to even Civil War, you know, telegraph telemedicine. So, you know, Methodist had already invested in many tools of innovation, including virtual, but going into the pandemic, there was a recognition that investment and expansion of virtual was going to be a key enabler and amplifier for their strategies to serve more patients, to provide better experience, to continue to optimize performance in our hospital system, et cetera.
So let's go there today. Obviously, here we are now several years after that big, big crisis hit all of us globally. What does these virtual programs mean to you, Dr. Pletcher? What are you and the team focused on? I know some of the areas that have gained a lot of national attention. Matter of fact, Q4 of last year in 2023, PBS NewsHour highlighted all the wonderful work that you and the team are doing around virtual nursing. But, you know, again, let's start at a higher level. What does virtual programs mean to Houston Methodist? And what are some specific examples or some specific offerings that you and Houston Methodist are bringing to life?
Well, there's just as many definitions for virtual digital telemedicine as there are programs, you know, but really for us, it's any way that we use tools, process, technology to bring our care teams and our patients together. In terms of virtual service lines, we have ICU, psychiatry, stroke, collaborative care, an urgent care or care now program, virtual nursing, sitting, telemetry, a monitoring program. There's a number of programs. We also, of course, enable all of our providers in all specialty areas at all of our sites to incorporate virtual visits as part of their practice. So it really is widespread across the system, but with a number of specific service lines where we really invested in being centralized and having some defined goals in really supporting our bedside and provider care teams across the system.
And so with that, Sarah, let's talk about some specific programs around that. I know one thing that you were really excited about, and I've heard you speak about it before, wearable technology, wearable monitoring for your patients. And of course, also going back to that notion of virtual nursing, like I said, PBS NewsHour highlighting this work on a national level. And one of the big titles or one of the big takeaways from that piece was how your virtual nursing program was helping retain nurses and talking about alleviating burnout. Let's first start maybe around your wearable technology. What does that mean? How is that helping your patients? What's the feedback been from your patients? Let's discuss a little bit about the wearable technology first.
Yeah, so I think there have been a number of ways that we've brought several care elements together to really try to give time back to the bedside team and time back to the patient and provide better care. the virtual nursing program, which you mentioned, has been a huge part of that. And it's live across our whole system of hospitals with hundreds of interactions a day with a central team of experienced nurses offering support at time of admission, at time of discharge, you know, throughout the patient's care. That's been an amazing, very popular program, really enjoyed by the patients, by the bedside team, et cetera. We also leverage a wearable adhesive vitals monitoring program through with a vendor strategic partner that's collecting minute level vital signs for every patient that comes into our hospital system. And our central team of virtual monitoring techs and nurses are actively monitoring those patients and able to communicate to the bedside when there's something they need to pay more attention to. That also allows us to stretch out how often we need to go into the room to take bedside vitals, which allows our patients more time to rest, right? More time to sleep. So better care, more eyes, but actually less feet and more sleep for our patients. Those two care technologies, when combined, have been a powerful way of driving patient satisfaction, outcome, safety, experience, but actually giving real time back to the bedside team so they can direct that time to the patients that really need direct hands-on care and attention.
How does this also apply to this notion, which is gaining a lot of headlines and a lot of traction as well, this notion of care at home, right? Taking the patient care at home. We're seeing a lot of models being popped up around the country around that. What's the perspective from your seat and for your organization about connected patient, patient at home, care at home, virtual, you know, connectedness? What does that look like for you and the team?
I think obviously anytime we can better support a patient's care when they're at home to keep them from needing to come into the hospital, needing to land in the emergency department, or to safely get them out of the hospital and home with their loved ones sooner, we want to take advantage of that. So the wearable sensor and these central teams of nurses and providers and physicians and monitoring techs that we have available is really becomes an engine room we can use to serve those other use cases. So we are moving forward with sending patients home with a sensor so that we can keep an eye on these patients for the days and weeks after they go home from the hospital. You know, again, our hope is that that will allow us to feel comfortable sending patients home on the earlier side, which is safer and, you know, better for them, but also with extending that care past just, you know, you leave the hospital and we don't know what's happening with you. So there's lots of opportunities to extend technology into other environments to serve our patients. And we're excited to now really have this innovative command center with all these modern tools that we can start to stretch into these new areas of care.
Now, let's also talk about technology to better serve not just the patients, but more specifically, your colleagues, those frontline care team members, and specifically around nurses and this virtual nursing program that has gained national attention coming out of your system. Again, one of the big headlines out of all of that was this notion of reducing burnout and retaining staff. Dr. Pletcher, you know as well as I do, we are in the midst of a national crisis in regards to labor, regards to workforce. What has this meant for Houston Methodist in that retainment, that recruitment, in regards to mitigating burnout and creating longevity for your colleagues? How has this program helped with all of that?
Well, in so many ways. You know, one, having a central asset means you can flex it and extend it out across units, across floors, across hospitals. You can help support a brand new nurse grad on a shift who wants a little extra support. You can provide a little extra support for a unit that might be short-staffed on a shift. And as I mentioned, we're giving them time back, right? And we're giving them peace of mind that we are also there with them monitoring their patients. All those things help us with burnout and satisfaction on the bedside end. So in that way, it's a treatment, but it's also, in a sense, a cure in that offering these careers gives us another way that we can extend nursing careers, right? By saying, hey, maybe you can't be on your feet for 4 12-hour shifts a week anymore, but can you do some virtual shifts and use all that great experience and care and compassion that you have developed throughout your career by supporting patient care directly through video interaction with the patient and by providing virtual nursing, et cetera. So by being able to offer virtual professional care opportunities, even, you know, not just by providing care to the bedside, we're also providing career extending opportunities. And I could go on and on about the opportunities there, right? You have a nurse who says, well, gee, I want to continue nursing, but I really need to live closer to my grandkids. Is in hospital there where I can practice. Okay, great. You can still be employed and work remotely, work from home. By being more creative in how we provide care, we aren't fixed to only employing virtual nurses in 12-hour shifts. We can say, hey, we'll bring you on when we have a lot of admits and discharges. So for a nurse who may want to work part-time or want to only work during the school day or the school week, this virtual practice opportunity opens up so many opportunities to extend and preserve and retain people in the industry that we really want to keep our hands on.
And how has the response been from those colleagues of yours, those nurses, in regards to their satisfaction with the day-to-day and interfacing with patients in a virtual environment? What's that feedback been from those nurses?
I think, you know, if we kind of take that question a little bit more broadly, you know, I think physicians, nurses alike had this concern that, well, it won't be the same. I won't be able to establish the same relationships. And what we found over years and years, and I'm on the board of the American Telemedicine Association, there's so much data to support this. You are able to develop a very strong, in some cases, I'd argue, stronger relationship with your patients because in many cases, you're invited into their home. You're having an interaction with them and you can see their home environment. You can ask about the family dog. You can meet other members of the family. And we see this with our virtual nursing program. When they're doing discharge instructions and education with the patient, they're bringing family members into that encounter and they're all looking at the discharge instructions together so that they can really have a caring handoff for the patient going home, but also for their family members. So it's all what you make it, right? The virtual tools can bring us together and can provide a more connected and personalized experience when we build them right. So I think that there's been a lot of satisfaction and engagement and awareness that we can use these technologies to bring us all together versus having us feel like they keep us apart.
Has this also helped Houston Methodist retain those patients that you do serve because you can continue to have, you know, those types of interactions with their care team in a quicker format, right? So patient Mike doesn't have to necessarily drive 2 hours to see Dr. Pletcher. What has that feedback been like for the patient and, of course, keeping them within the system? How has that been?
I think it's been great. You know, as I mentioned, you go through the pandemic and a lot of people discovered tools like DoorDash and Instacart and streaming content providers. And even though they've gone back to dining out and going to the grocery store, most of us still incorporate that convenience and that access in our lives. And we've certainly seen that with patients that perhaps their first experience with virtual medical care was during the pandemic. But absolutely, that's something that they are able to use to keep those relationships, to keep continuity of care going with their provider team. So absolutely. And, you know, the wonderful thing about creating a convenient patient experience is that it's better for everybody, whether you live in rural Northeast, you know, where I spent a lot of my earlier years, or an urban city environment like Houston, whether you're executive or you have a very disadvantaged social situation, it's the great equalizer. Everyone benefits from access and convenience, and everyone benefits when you give them back time.
I absolutely love it. Thank you for that perspective as well, Sarah. Now let's talk a little future state. Let's not just talk about in regards to where you and the team are helping lead Houston Methodist into its next decade, but let's also talk a little bit more on the macro as well. Dr. Pletcher, you get to go around the country and spend time with other innovative leaders that are working to move this industry forward. What are you seeing on the macro that we should be mindful of over the next 2 to 3 years? And then, of course, what is Houston Methodist specifically working on that you're excited about to help take it into its next decade as well?
Yeah, I mean, I would say as a broad theme, you know, many of us are investing in strategies and solutions that allow us to centralize, virtualize, automate, delegate, you know, really taking advantage of all these modern cutting edge tools, you know, whether it's generative AI, you know, RPA, you name it, to give us ways to provide more personalized and pleasing care, but doing it at a lower cost and in a sustainable staffing way. So, you know, at a high level, most of the investments that you see being made are trying to get us closer to that concept of having a different model with to execute, to load level, to respond to surges, to be more elegant around delivery of experience in a supply demand orchestrated way.
And in regards to Houston Methodist, what are some of the, you know, call it one to two or three initiatives that you are really excited about that's going to help take the organization into its next decade?
I mean, one that we're tremendously excited about is we are in the middle of a massive rollout that will have us with installed ambient virtual care cameras and sensors in every single room across the system. That allows us to beam any member of care team in to any patient care area across our system. It also gives us a wealth of AI quality safety opportunities to detect earlier when a patient's deteriorating or is about to fall. And then with our wearable sensor technology that we're also nearly complete rolling out, every single patient coming into any of our care facilities will have that vital signs insight placed on as soon as they come into the hospital, so that we will have a true wired, connected, smart health system that gives us the ability to then really look at, well, how can we now start innovating the way we do everything, given that we have this ability to be there for a patient when they need us with what they need, how they need it. So those are two initiatives that we're rolling out. We also have a number of AI and ambient technologies going into our operating theaters, again, to give us even more insight about how to deliver the best, most personalized, safe, efficient care in our operating theaters. We're leveraging AI in a number of areas, very excited about the documentation and scribing frontier. So it's hard to only choose a few, but those are some of the initiatives that we're really excited to be rolling forward with.
Very, very exciting future state. And that's it's already happening in real time in regards to rolling these new opportunities out across Houston Methodist. Very, very excited. Let's bring it back to current state. Sarah, incredible community rallied around this podcast, and they always love to help our guests. What's one problem, need, or question that you have that our community can be helping you with?
Wow, that's a great offer. I know you do have a really innovative community. I mean, I think to just circle back to the beginning of saying, you know, go out there and really talk and learn and understand workflow and process and bring forward solutions. I'd love to see people bringing forward more of, rather than to use a kitchen analogy, right? If we already have a kitchen and we're already serving food, I'd rather hear you bring me recipes and meal plans rather than tell me about some new, really fancy sensor that I can attach to my oven. Not to say that there aren't opportunities for more tools and more tech, and certainly see them all the time, but I'd love to see people bringing forward solutions or toolkits where they've thought through the process, the workflow, the protocols, the implementation plan, how it's going to integrate, to make to kind of lessen the burden and the lift for health systems to integrate some of these tools into their ecosystem.
Well, Sarah, you had me at kitchen and cooking. So one of my favorite areas to be. So great analogy. And it really is spot on, Sarah, in regards to innovators coming to, say, someone like you or Houston Methodist, as opposed to launching right into a new sensor for the oven. Let's talk about maybe some of those recipes, because you know as well as I do too, when we bring on wholesale new changes with technology, there's an entire wrapper around called change management and all of those different things that have downstream impact from just this notion of bringing in this new sensor as an example. So love those ideas. And we have a lot of innovators and a lot of folks that'll tune in that would love to have a conversation about all of that and more. So Sarah, how do they find you online? How do they connect with you? Social media handles, websites, or otherwise, how do they get a hold of you?
I mean, well, certainly Houston Methodist has an innovation site. You can reach out to any member of the team. You can find me on LinkedIn. I think a lot of the vendor and technology solution vendors don't seem to have a problem finding my LinkedIn and letting me know all about their amazing solutions. So that continues to be a good way to find me. I'm not as social media handle intensive as you, Mike.
Well, you do have a really, really active LinkedIn. So trust me, I actually love following you and learning from you over on LinkedIn. That is a great place to connect. And so for our listening community, simply scroll on down to the episode notes to find those contact points for Dr. Pletcher and the Houston Methodist team, or you can head over to our free global online community. There will be a post for this episode where you can leave comments, feedback, suggestions, or otherwise, and find those contact points online over at our free global online community at passionatepioneers.com. All right, Sarah, an exciting conversation. We're going to wind this down so you can get back to all of the wonderful work happening at Houston Methodist. But before we let you go, we do have a fill in the blank for you. I'm a passionate pioneer because
I continue to show up and I still follow my heart and I still follow my gut. And although the problems become more complex, I'm just as interested in thinking about them and trying to make them a little bit better than I was when I started this whole adventure.
Absolutely love it. Way to bring it all together at the end of this interview. So thank you for that, Sarah. And of course, Sarah, thank you so much for joining up today. I know how busy you are and all the wonderful things you have involved down at Houston Methodist. And so thank you for taking a pit stop to spend some time on this podcast and more importantly with our community. Thank you again for being with us today.
Thank you so much for the opportunity to chat with you.
Thank you for joining us today on Passionate Pioneers with Mike Baselli. We'd love to hear your feedback about the podcast so we can continue to improve this community and to further support the pioneers being featured. Lastly, please take a moment to subscribe to the podcast and invite your friends and colleagues to join us. This is Passionate Pioneers with Mike Baselli. I look forward to having you back with us during our next episode.